Live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
The Lord has made, and he has put upon our shoulders a thing that can seem like a great burden. It is, in fact, both a burden and a responsibility and an opportunity, this time we live in, where there's this weird convergence of things. It's so unfortunate that it happens that the shutdown, which has done nothing to save lives, there's countless analyses that the shutdowns have probably taken more lives than they've saved. That unfortunately happened at the same time that the Marxist-trained group Black Lives Matter suddenly decided to reappear. They hadn't been doing much, and then they suddenly decided to reappear. It's so unfortunate that those riots have happened just building up to an election time. There's now 21 or 22 deaths over the weekend, 5 kids. I guess I was wrong. One of the kids was all of 11. The others were below the age of 11, killed in the aftermath of depolicing and of cops being told, don't go into these neighborhoods, or of cops saying, I'm not going into those neighborhoods. I'm sorry. I'm a law enforcement officer. I try to do my best to help people, but I'm not going to go be ambushed. Right? So it looks like and feels like, and is an emotional burden. It is also an enormous opportunity, and it sits in our hands. Now, can we take that opportunity? There's going to have to be a societal shift that's going to have to start with an emotional shift. And the emotional shift is going to have to lead to behavioral shifts. And it's going to have to be us. To be frank with you, aside from President Trump, we are totally, completely, utterly, completely on our own when it comes to fighting for Americanism. We're just alone. There are aspects of this in some of the gubernatorial candidates. I think that I think Tim Iman understands Americanism. Certainly, he's not a trained Marxist. I know that Joshua Fried understands Americanism. And it will fight on many, many fronts of this, many fronts. Lauren Culp does. And we have to get these guys elected, one of them. There's going to have to be a reckoning, by the way. Just understand this. The primary is August 4th. It's a top two primary, meaning that the top two candidates move on. There are, I think, 36 candidates for governor of Washington State. Hiding amongst those are the Democrats' second choice. Make no mistake, the Democrats will have done the math. The unions will be telling people you have to vote for the second choice. Here's the second choice you need to vote for. They have done the math. With 5 or 6 name brand gubernatorial candidates as Republicans in the running, they're going to be looking to knock them all out with a strong second choice that they know is not going to defeat Jay Inslee in the general election. There's got to be a reckoning, because we're on our own, aside from President Trump, in defending Americanism. Americanism, a recognition of our country's greatness, the great design, the ability to be human achievers, and the mistakes of an early and young country. Designed, its very DNA allows it to get better. That has never been the case in a country until the United States was founded. There was never a method to make the country better through peaceful terms, peaceful tactics. That was a unique aspect to this country. And the president, when he spoke at Mount Rushmore, spoke of this, and the press went nuts. It can feel like a burden. It is, in fact, an opportunity to say to the people around the United States of America, please take a good, strong sniff.
I spent time in the area today talking to people, listening to their concerns.
We will not change things over. overnight. And I know.
Shovel your sidewalk. People don't realize that's their responsibility.
So sorry. Woo! There's some strong Seattle spirit this morning. Man. Woo! Somebody got to change what they eat. My goodness. It's an opportunity for us to say to the rest of the country, and it's not just Seattle. The GOP, well, no, that's not true. President Trump's team is doing a fantastic job of presenting the choice. There are people and entities who want to burn down the United States. They're over here. These are these people and entities. It's not that they're seeking reform. It's not that they're seeking peace. It's not that they're seeking legislative changes. They don't want to modify America. They want to throw it in the trash heap. They want to be allowed to be the only ones with guns. Remember, these are the same ones who want to seize your guns. They want to be the only one with guns. They want to be the only ones with power. They want to have the power of revenge for wrongs from 250 years ago. They want to charge you. They want to take what you have. And you doesn't mean white people. Marxism doesn't care about race once it's taken control. Once Marxism has taken control, it's faceless. All that matters is, are you in the party leadership? That's what they want. What does Russia and China want? They want this country toppled. They want us out of the way. They don't want to have to compete with us financially or in terms of the military. They don't want to compete with us geopolitically. They want us neutralized, gone. They want us so busy trying not to die that we can't win. It's very much like a drowning person. A drowning person's not going to argue with you. They're not going to yell at you. They're busy trying to live. This is what our enemies want of us. And the president has shown this. There's an opportunity to show what it looks like with leftism. Here's the opportunity. Jenny Durkin is not a mayor. She has the title, but none of her policies are mayoral. She has a policy of allowing open-air drug dealing. Is that mayoral? She has a policy of ignoring sex trafficking in the drug camps. Is that mayoral? The first act she undertook when she was elected mayor was to go on Rachel Maddow's show and brag about free pot. Is that mayoral? One of her goals is to make it impossible to drive in downtown Seattle. Is that mayoral? There is not a policy that Jenny Durkin has that hasn't contributed to the worsening problems in Seattle and the outflow of people from Seattle. I'm telling you, in Idaho, I now know about 25 families who've moved to Idaho. I know right now, this second, five families whose houses just went up for sale, they're moving to Idaho. Now, I know there's going to be a lot of leftists ready to flood into Washington State, and that's the point. We have an opportunity to say to the rest of the country, watch. Watch Chicago. Watch the five deaths of the young people, the murders. Watch the 21 people taken in these deaths. And the president's doing this. Where is this in Washington State? Where is the GOP in Washington State? It's great that Caleb tweets. It's fantastic. Where are we hitting them hard in ads? Think of what we can do in an advertisement in this state aimed at even moderate people. You talk about Antifa, Stan. You show the video. First, there was a sexual assault. Then they choked a guy. Then a deaf and mute woman was raped. Then there was an attempted arson on a business. Then there was a black man told by a white man that he's a race traitor because the black man had an American flag. Then there are journalists like Brandy Cruz assaulted and threatened. Then, and on and on and on, all the way up into the shootings and the deaths and the discussion after apparently one of the children, because there was a 16-year-old or 14-year-old shot. There's audio of one of the shooters apparently saying, oh, you're not dead yet? We have an opportunity to do this as advertisements to moderate voters to say, this is what Jenny Durkin brought you. This is what Jay Inslee bought you. Are you still voting Democrat? And when did it end? Of course it ended when they went to her house. And over the weekend, they went back to Jenny's house.
Looks like 4,000 or so, at least, a huge crowd, primarily led by LGBT folks and queer folks of color. It's a bit of a dance party as well, but let's not get confused. Let's not get it confused. This is a protest.
So they're taking it to Jenny's house. She couldn't stand this, but we're okay with the freeways being blocked. It's people's First Amendment rights. And you go back to the ad. Antifa Stan was okay when it was just a white street preacher getting choked, being sexually assaulted here on video. Antifa Stan was okay when it was just the attempted arson of a business. Antifa Stan was okay when it was just a deaf and mute woman being raped. Antifa Stan was okay when there was a guy on video handing out AR-15s to people who'd clearly never shot a rifle in their life. It was okay. Antifa Stan was okay when the John Brown Gun Club was trailing people down the streets, writing down their license plates, when they were driving around John Brown Gun Club in cars without license plates. That was okay. Everything was good. It was okay when there was the first shooting. It was okay when there was a second shooting. It was okay in the third and fourth shooting. It was okay when a teenager, well, actually a child, 16-year-old child was killed. It was okay. 14-year-old clinging to life. It was okay. Then they went to Mayor Jenny's house. That stuff can't stand. Now they're back at Mayor Jenny's house. And they stay on I-5. You go back to the ad. So on I-5, this guy goes, drives his luxury car. This is the narrative. This is the narrative. It was a luxury car. Because the driver turns out to be black. You can't do the racial aspect to this, so they do the financial aspect of it. Oh, he has a luxury car. This is some of the narratives in the media. You go to do this. You go back to the ads. Mayor Jenny let this go on. Jay Inslee let this go on. They let these people block the freeway. They let them prevent people from getting home. They let them prevent people from getting to work. They let them prevent people from getting to the hospital. They let them prevent people from getting to medical appointments. They let them do this for 19 days, and they were fine with you being trapped and not being allowed to go where you need to go. Then, guy goes and apparently runs one of the people who sees the freeway down. Now we've got to shut it down. Can you imagine the opportunity we have to target this at swing voters? If the GOP wants to win this election, and that is an open question, they will raise money. They will take ads like this and they will micro-target it to swing voters. They know exactly who the swing voters are. They know the people who are willing to vote Republican. They will target these ads at them continually. They will double down with these ads by showing the sex ed curricula. that Jay Inslee signed. Here's what's coming, Washington State. Here's what's coming. And they will display it. They'll remind people that they had to go arrest the suspected shooters from downtown Seattle, arrest the two suspects in Las Vegas.
Two remaining suspects in that deadly downtown shooting have been captured in Las Vegas.
They have to remind them of this. So now our suspects are fleeing around the country, and now we bridge into the national. You take what's happened in Seattle. You take what's happened in Washington, D.C. and Chicago and Minneapolis, and you market this to swing voters around the country. And you say, this is your choice. Which one do you want? The burden that we have is an opportunity we are carrying to communicate to the rest of the country. I got a text this morning from Crabwalker. Mark, guy I know. Crabwalker said the most interesting thing. Todd, thank you for always giving us ideas. I want to be more active as a conservative, but I'm not willing to do the rude things a lot of liberals can do. Can you help teachers honest and respectful ways of being a conservative activist? Teachers, yes. Crabwalker, yes. How about this? In your classroom, what if you are the classroom that talks about the fact of America's construction? What was the key idea? The key idea was, do we want to be ruled? Do we want bosses, or do we want to govern ourselves? What if you, in your classroom, made this a point? What if you in your classroom were to remind the children of what the king was doing, of what we fought against? What if yours was a classroom where you reminded the children that we were the second country in the entire world to do away with slavery? What if you remind your children or teach them that slavery... What if you were to teach your children that there are black people held in bondage right now? In fact, it's not just black people. There's slavery all around the country. What if you were around the world, not in this country, but around the world? What if you would remind your children of this? What if you were to teach them of this? What if you were to actually show them what happens in other countries? What if you were actually to show them what a peaceful transfer of power means? What if in your classroom you talked about what happened under the Soviet Union? What if you talked about the gulags? What if you talked about the secret police showing up at your house, taking the mom and dad away at night with no charges, never to be heard from again? Suddenly you just live with someone you don't know. Now you're suddenly a ward of the state. What if you talk about the Khmer Rouge and the actual destruction of history, then the destruction of the history teachers, then the destruction of the parents, then the death of the parents and the history teachers, and then the children being told to continue the war forever? What if yours was the classroom where you taught the things that are not to be taught? What if yours is a classroom where you work these into lessons? What if yours is a classroom where you speak of the reality of the mathematical formulas, of the mathematical facts around killings, police-involved killings? And again, this is age-dependent, Crabwalker. With the young kids, you can talk about the king and the unfairness. With the young kids, you can talk about why we decided to be a society that governed ourselves. With the older kids, you can have discussions about the mathematical reality. Now, you have to figure out how you do that in a teaching structure which hates context. You have to do that in a teaching structure that does not want these things taught. You, Crabwalker, might need to leave the government schools. You might have to go start your own school. You might have to start a homeschool co-op. You might have to leave the system to save the kids that you choose to work with. That's what you might have to do. Because this is what hangs in the balance. Now, we're going to get into the president's speeches as we roll on through the show. Coming up in the next segment, we're getting into that. There's one thing I want you to hear. I cannot believe this. Because I got busy last week doing Rush's show Thursday and Friday, incidentally, I intended to be off Thursday and Friday, and yes, when I have an opportunity to host Rush's show, I'm going to sacrifice vacation days to do that. Obviously, it's a huge honor to host for us, always will be. I was doing show prep, and I read about a cop. The Tacoma Police Department is investigating an officer for a video he made critical of the protests. So I said, oh, this is curious. I wonder what the officer in Tacoma said. So I said, okay, I got to make note of this, read this weekend. I logged on. I read the story that I'd saved. I cannot believe this. We talked about this video last week. This officer is from Tacoma, as in being investigated for
According
what?
To Tacoma police, there are three officers under investigation by the department over videos posted to TikTok. One of those officers is Sam Lopez. One of his videos has 8 million views and counting.
So I come in this morning and we're informed there's going to be a protest to defund the police.
Tacoma police officer Sam Lopez is seen in uniform posting on his personal TikTok account.
They requested a police presence, you know, for their safety at the defund police event.
Officers act in this way because they feel that there are no consequences for their actions.
Consequences for what? For pointing out the reality that they want cops to protect them at a defund the police rally and protest and maybe riot? If this cop is punished for that, I suggest every Tacoma police officer quit and relocate. Move. Let Tacoma deal with decisions like this. This was the most friendly, affable, likable, laid back, funny, light, airy commentary I'd ever seen. It was just the facts laid out with a smile. There should be no consequences for that because he did nothing. It has 8 million views because it is a blatant contradiction. He didn't criticize the protests. He didn't utter anything that could be ever seen as racist by any sane human being. Remarkable. If that cop is punished, every Tacoma police department, every Tacoma cop should quit and go join another agency. Or go, well, do it in reverse. Join another agency and then quit. Get the second job first. Let Tacoma just do what Tacoma's going to do. Let the people hire private security. Let it all happen. Unbelievable. I support this officer wholeheartedly. Hope you do too as well. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show with the president's speech. Tacoma News said he was making worse the cultural divide and dark and divisive speech. Next on the Todd Herman Show. A statue in Rochester, New York was torn down. There's been a lot of statues being torn down. We know that it's gone from Confederate statues to statues of people who fought the Confederacy to statues. They want to tear down the statue that features Abraham Lincoln helping to free a former slave. They want to tear that down. They got to tear them all down. This one in Rochester, New York that was torn down. That was of Frederick Douglass. Frederick Douglass committed the incredible crime of learning to read. Oh, he was held in bondage. Slave. He escaped and he went to the North. He became one of the most respected abolitionists and thinkers in the world. They tore a statue down. Rochester, New York. An actual slave who actually freed himself, who actually launched the movement that became the abolitionist movement, who actually had the opportunity to work with John Brown the crazed loser in life who helped precipitate the Civil War, but not the way he thought. And Douglas said, no, not the way I want to work. I want to work legislatively. They tore a statue down. Can't be allowed to live in memory. President Trump this weekend gave a speech that the media unanimously called dark, divisive, poking at the pain of the culture war, deepening the divide. But a group of trained Marxists who've raised 300 plus million bucks while ignoring, you know, that they call Black Lives Matter Incorporated, ignoring the fact that black lives do matter. They ignore the fact that black lives absolutely matter. They have nothing to say, characteristically, not a thing to say about the children murdered over the weekend. They're not divisive. I've never heard the media call the group Black Lives Matter, Inc., run by trained Marxists who have said, unless you give us everything we want, we're going to burn your system down. I've never heard that called divisive. Not once. Isn't that interesting? The president spoke at Mount Rushmore.
This monument will never be desecrated. These heroes will never be defaced. Their legacy will never, ever be destroyed. Their achievements will never be forgotten. And Mount Rushmore will stand forever as an eternal tribute to our forefathers and to our freedom.
So now maybe it's me. Maybe I'm all messed up. I can understand the points of view that the Native American people have against that mountain. I can understand it. I can also understand that the mountain exists as an honoring of the people who founded a country, well, imperfect, the only country founded designed to get better. The only country founded that legislative changes can make things better. I can look at that mountain and see great people with tremendous flaws. I've never met a great person without tremendous flaws. You have the left point to Bill Clinton and his so-called great policies. He's also a likely rapist. I've not met a single great person who didn't have great flaws. The desecration, the destruction of public property because you choose to do it is anti-American. If you want Mount Rushmore gone, create legislation to have it removed. Create a battle. Create a legislative battle. I think there's people in the Sioux Nations beneath the Black Hills probably join you in that. I think there's people in the Sioux Nations below the Black Hills who'd say, nah, I like it. I like the tourism it brings in. I like that it displays our history. Incidentally, there's a monument of Crazy Horse. Great, great Sioux leader. That stands. And guess what? Some members of Crazy Horse's family, some descendants, don't want it there. Other descendants do. I guess somehow I'm able to look at both sides of this and not become outraged or driven to take up IEDs and start blowing things up. I guess maybe I just think, if there's a consensus and you could reach that legislatively, I won't like seeing Mount Rushmore removed. I'll vote against it. But this is divisive. This is dark. This is poking at the culture wars according to the unanimous view of the media, maybe aside from Fox. But Cuomo's hyperbolic treatment of this was an embarrassment. On the weekends in Cuomo, their weekend editors are as far left as I see in media. It's a huge change from during the week. President talked about the radical left's goals.
The radical ideology attacking our country advances under the banner of social justice. But in truth, it would demolish both justice and society. It would transform justice into an instrument of division and vengeance, And it would turn our free and inclusive society into a place of repression, domination, and exclusion. Their goal is not a better America. Their goal is to end America.
The media unanimously pretended that was a statement against peaceful protest. Unanimously. Nothing in that is a statement against the protesters at all. He's not talking about the protesters. He's talking about the ideology called Marxism. No one can discuss the history of Marxism without the discussion of the hundreds of millions of lives killed or lost, murdered, people murdered. No one can discuss the history of Marxism without the history of exploitation. Without the history of blackmail, without the history of taking what doesn't belong to you with violence, no one can discuss it that way. The media pretended that was a discussion of or a critique of the protesters. Not. Now, I know that people in the media are far left. Right. And look, I'm in the media. Jory Monson is in the media. Jason Rance is in the media. So it's not unanimous. And yet the coverage? Unanimously to the left. The voting? Newsrooms voting? It's 80 to 85, 89% left. Polling on issues? Newsrooms are extraordinarily to the left. So you take a bunch of people in the news business and they hear this, wow, this is divisive. But it's not divisive to be told you are racist if you're white. That's not divisive. It's not divisive to be told you have white fragility and if you deny it, you have a worse case of it. You can be someone like me who craves the hard conversations with black Americans. We've had them here. We'll have them again. I don't think that makes me fragile. When I'm willing to be told by a friend of mine, yes, whiteness exists, here's an example, and to still love the man. But I've never heard anyone in the media talk about that as divisive. The president talked about equality and the image of God.
We believe in equal opportunity, equal justice, and equal treatment for citizens of every race, background, religion, and creed. Every child of every color, born and unborn, is made in the holy image of God.
Now, for the leftists who are upset that the president mentioned God, you might want to read the lyrics to what's being called the Black National Anthem. Yes, the National Football League thinks it's a good idea to divide America further. The National Football League, who would not allow the Dallas Cowboys to wear decals honoring the police officers murdered in Dallas by a person, a black man, who said, I am doing this to support Black Lives Matter on murdering cops, one of whom was black, by the way. The NFL, who wouldn't let the Dallas Cowboys wear decals honoring these cops, intends to play what they have decided is the Black National Anthem, which makes the national anthem the white national anthem. How the NFL cannot see that this is a permanent dividing of the country is beyond me. You might want to read the lyrics to that, people upset because the president said we're made in the image of God. That song honors God. What they want to call the new Black National Anthem. The president talked about police and support for guns and God.
We support the courageous men and women of law enforcement. We will never abolish our police or our great Second Amendment, which gives us the right to keep and bear arms. We stand tall, we stand proud, and we only kneel to Almighty God.
Dark, divisive, making worse the culture war, a vision of hatred. Washington Post said it was a worshiping of empirical dominance. And yet, none of that happened in the speech. The place where diversity is most needed in this country is in the news departments of media companies. There is a huge need for intellectual diversity on the editorial board of the Seattle Times, in the news leadership of Cairo 7, in the news leadership of King 5. Intellectual diversity is not there. They don't know that because they don't think conservatism has any intellectual components to it. That's what the left has been taught. But that would be smart policy for them to actually bring in intellectual diversity. The president gave a good speech. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show with just a few more things on AM 770 KTTH. Coming up at 8 o'clock, Jay Inslee faces another lawsuit, this one over the woke masks. The Freedom Foundation is suing Jay Inslee, and their legal theory is spot on, in my judgment. The woke masks, there's no science to say the woke masks are going to protect you from a virus. They're not needed. And yet, Jay Inslee is forcing businesses to become mask cops. Well, Freedom Foundation says this is forced speech. This is nothing more than Jay Inslee forcing people to wear basically campaign ads on their mouths. You'll hear about that next in the Todd Herman Show. Let's get into
just a few more things.
It's a quick arrangement of news-like items laid out into a logical and numbered fashion.
Thing one.
And I said they're numbered, right? Remember way back in the day, CNN? Man, they were hand-wringing. We're wondering if there's going to be violence at the Trump Independence Day, or they would say 4th of July Day rally. How much violence do you think we'll see on a scale of 1,000 to 1,001?
He'd give a presidential speech, or would he give one of these sort of foaming at the mouths speech that we sometimes see at the rallies where they clamor, you know, we heard it just last week, where people in the crowd clamor for violence.
What? For violence? Lock her up? I don't know that that's violence, per se. Next up, in just a few more
things. Thing two.
However, turns out, this is weird. It's never happened in history before. Communists are more violent. This is a group called Refuse Fascism. It's a front group for the Revolutionary Communist Party. And they're with protesters who are led by Marxists, the organizers and leaders of the organization called Black Lives Matter Incorporated, say they're trained Marxists. And says this.
So, Trump, that law, your Independence Day. We need a revolution in order to overthrow this system, bring a whole new communist world into being that can actually ensure the rights of black and brown people.
And over the weekend in Washington, D.C., an 11-year-old boy, one of the heroes of his football team, was killed. But, man, those Trump rallies. Those Trump rallies. That's what CNN is worrying about. Next up, in just a few more things.
Thing three.
Now, speaking of violence, CNN's reporter Bruno Macedo was doing a live report. Oh, no, not in the United States. Not outside the White House. Not at a Trump rally. Doing a live report when the weirdest thing happened. They were confronted with the fact that when there's no cops around, the weirdest things can occur. This comes from Mediaite. Person's doing a live report in Sao Paulo, Brazil. And here's what happens. Listen real close. You want to turn your radio up for this to see the detail or hear it.
It's forte lá. E essa água vem sendo trazida para a Grande São Paulo
Got
e
it.
Chega à região metropolitana, yeah. Chega ali via Guarulhos, chega man. Ao Rio Tietê,
oh!
Por isso é que o leito do rio.
Sorry, it's in Spanish. Yeah, reporter's doing a live shot. Dude walks up with the knife. Give me what you have or I will stab you on the TV. But man, those Trump rallies, that's you got all sorts of violence going on. We got to figure out how to do video.
Thing four.
Joe Biden had an interesting admission talking on Fox News. Remember when Joe Biden said, I'm tested for cognitive decline on a daily basis. I'm tested on that every time I walk my Tyrannosaurus Rex in the backyard of Flintstone Village. Tested all the time.
He defeated 25 other candidates to become the Democratic nominee.
Got it. He's just done, to be clear, this wasn't a mental test that he took then, right? You're talking about being tested in life.
Being tested, being out on the campaign trail every day running for president.
Yeah, he's tested. And is he ever good at passing?
Thing five.
Those tests. I mean, he is so sharp.
Good afternoon, everyone. As Lily already indicated, I'm Joe Biden's husband. Joe Biden.
It's Joe Biden's husband. I guess you can be whatever you want these days. Freedom Foundation is suing Jay Inslee over the mass diktat. That's next.